Welcome to Breaking It Down with D'Anthony, with your host, Devin Anthony. Welcome to the latest edition of Breaking It Down with D'Anthony. A lot to talk about today, football, basketball. You know that's what I love talking about. So I'm just going to go in, and we're going to start off with college football. So starting off with LSU, who's having a very good season, sitting at 11-0, undefeated. They had a huge win over Alabama in Week 11. And they finished their regular season at home against Texas A&M, which is a game that they should win. LSU is looking for revenge against Texas A&M after a 74-72 loss last year and a game that went to 7 overtime. I remember watching the game just going back and forth, thought it was never going to end. But Texas A&M ended up pulling through and winning the game. But this year it's back in Death Valley and LSU. It's a very winnable game. They should win the game and finish their regular season at 12-0. LSU have had huge wins this year against Texas on the road earlier in the year, which is a non-conference game, and Texas was ranked very high at the time of that game. They beat Florida and Auburn, who were both also very highly ranked during those games. Those games were at home, and they beat, as I said earlier, they beat Alabama, who was ranked third in the country at the time. And that was a very highly anticipated game. A lot of people thought Alabama would easily win because they were at home and Tua was healthy. But LSU ended up pulling off and winning the biggest game of their season. LSU has clinched their spot in the SEC championship game against Georgia. And even if they lose that game, I still believe they will definitely make the college football playoff. Georgia, who's actually ranked fourth in the country right now, by the College Football Playoff Committee. They've had one loss at home versus South Carolina this year, which is not a very good loss. South Carolina's never, they haven't been a very good team this year, so it doesn't really look like a good loss on Georgia's resume. So if Georgia were to lose the SEC championship game, they'd probably fall out of the College Football Playoff, which would open up a spot for a number of teams. If one loss Utah wins out and beats Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game, do they make it in? I think that's the most likely scenario. But if Minnesota beats, if Minnesota beats ranked two-loss Wisconsin in their final regular season game of the year, and they somehow win the Big Ten championship, do they make it in? I think those are two very hard games for them to beat Wisconsin and then have to beat number one ranked Ohio State. So I don't see that happening. Obviously, Alabama, who are sitting right outside of the college football playoff, that with that fourth spot, they're sitting at fifth right now. They finished with Auburn on the road, which is a game that almost never has a clear favorite. It could always go either way. It has a history of upsets, no matter how highly ranked the other team is. So I think that game could go either way. So if Alabama or win that game, which I don't think they will. I actually think Auburn will, even though they're not ranked as well as Alabama. I think they're the better team this game, with Tua being injured for the rest of the season, so he won't be playing that game. But I mean, if Alabama were to win that game, which I don't think they will, could they take that fourth spot with Georgia losing the SEC championship game? And we know the College Football Playoff Committee loves Alabama. They always find a way for Alabama. I'm not trying to sound biased, but they always find a way for Alabama to get into the college football playoff, because at the end of the day, it's good entertainment. But with Tua hurt, I don't really see that happening. Oklahoma and Baylor, both one-loss teams, will be playing the Big 12 championship game. So could the winner of that game possibly be in the college football playoff? I think Baylor, honestly, has a better chance than Oklahoma if they were to win the Big 12 championship game, because Oklahoma's loss was at Kansas State, and Kansas State that's not a very good loss, but Baylor's one loss was to Oklahoma. So I honestly think Baylor's loss looks better than Oklahoma, but I guess you can look at it the other way. Oklahoma's had a tougher schedule this year. And I think that also be very good entertainment if Oklahoma were to make it in, if Jalen Hurts and his squad would be able to make it in over his old team, Alabama. So all those possibilities do raise discussion if the college football playoff should expand to more than eight to more teams. And in my opinion, I think they should expand to eight for now. I think that's the fair number. I think it makes sense because right now I think there's eight legitimate teams in the country who belong in the college football playoff, who have proven they're really good teams. They've built really good programs and they deserve to be in the college football playoff. But I guess that makes a really long season. I think it actually be good for the NCAA. It makes them more money. I just think it's more fair because it makes it more fair. If a team had one loss, another team had one loss, then you're not really coming down to, oh, like who had like better wins, who had like worse losses or stuff like that. Like if they were a good team throughout the year and they're only one loss or a two loss team to two really good teams, if you're a two loss team, two really good teams, you're still not going to make the college football playoff, even though you're a very good team this season and you deserve to be at the high stage in the college football playoff. So I think a fair number to expand it to, if the NCAA is willing to, is to eight teams. So from college football, now we're going to talk about the NFL, which has also been very entertaining this year. Baltimore Ravens, they look unstoppable. They have 9 wins in 11 games so far, and the reason behind that is Lamar Jackson himself. He is proving his case why he should win MVP this year. He has won huge games against the Patriots, the Seahawks, the Texans, the Rams. And against the Rams in Week 12, Lamar Jackson had a QBR of 99.7. And it was his third of the season. It was third of the season with a QBR of 99, which hasn't been done since 2006. So pretty impressive, really showing his accuracy and why he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league right now. And what's even crazier is that he's not even 23 years old yet. But this kid is special. He proved it in his college football career at Louisville, winning the Heisman, almost winning it again. But he's been really good this season, and he's really definitely caught the whole country's attention, even the world. In Week 12, he threw for 5 touchdowns against the Rams. Against the Texans, he threw 4 touchdowns. And against New England, he only threw 1, but he ran for 2. And his running has really been the story of how well he's been playing this year. And it's really been been making him elite this year and really making him stand out compared to all the other quarterbacks in the league. He has 6 rushing touchdowns so far this year and over 800 rushing yards through 11 games. He's kind of like, a lot of people are comparing him to Mike Vick, kind of like his scrambling, running, making plays when even they're not there. And he's really athletic. He's showing that. And it's as I said earlier, it's what's setting him apart, not only from other quarterbacks in the league, but from other MVP candidates. That his running along with his outstanding accuracy, as I was saying earlier, and Baltimore, they're just a good team and defense is getting it done. They acquired Marcus Peters in the Jalen Ramsey trade, which has been good for them. And so they're just proving why they belong. And a lot of people slept on them, didn't really know what they can produce this year. But Lamar Jackson has really been standing up, and he surprised a lot of people this year. Him winning MVP, I think, would be great for the league. And it would give hope to other young stars in the league who are coming up. And Lamar Jackson didn't even start for first couple games last year behind Joe Flacco. Like, a lot of people doubted him. A lot of people just thought, oh, he should be a wide receiver, running back. Like, he hasn't really deserved to be a quarterback. But this year, he's just proved himself. He proved all the haters, showed why he belongs in this league and why he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And he's just so athletic and really stands apart. And I can see why people compare him to Mike Vick. He's just so good. Moving on from that, New England has only one loss through 11 games, so even a better record than Baltimore. But obviously not as many people are going to talk about New England because they're just so good every year. And it's not really like surprising news that they're good again, because they've just always been good. Belichick has just built something there that has just lasted, it seems like, forever. And will last for as long as Tom Brady plays for him. So yeah, they've only had one loss through 11 games. Tom Brady looks great again, even though he's old, like 41, I think. But it's not even necessarily the offense. They lost Antonio Brown. They had him for one whopping game, and then the whole thing with his sexual assault that all fell through. And then they had Josh Gordon for a bit this season. But they released him, and the Seahawks picked him up. So they've lost a couple of their star wide receivers. But it's the defense that's winning games. And honestly, they're the top defense in the league right now. And in week 12, they held Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys to 9 points, which is very impressive because Dak is one of the top leaders in passing yards in the league. And they just held the Cowboys down. They held Zeke down. They held I don't think Amari Cooper had one catch that game, which is really impressive. Stephen Gilmore holding him down. And the story of the New England season this year has been their defense. And that's honestly, that's a part of their team that's always not really looked upon that much. It's always like Tom Brady and the running backs and the receivers. And it's always about, oh, Tom Brady this, Tom Brady that. But this year it's really been about the defense that's winning them games. As I said, so talking about the Dallas Cowboys, they're 6-6. A lot of people are saying, oh, should Garrett get fired, their head coach, should Garrett get fired, Jason Garrett? Jerry Jones said he doesn't plan on firing him. I don't think he should. They're still probably going to win the NFC East, which is a very poor NFC East this year. Obviously, the Giants and the Redskins are horrible this year. The Eagles could make a run if they start winning some games, but I think Dallas will. I think they could, if they start turning it on, if they start getting that flair back. I mean, they haven't won one game this year against a team who has been over 500, which obviously I can see, like, Cowboys fans don't see as great, and maybe why Jason Garrett should get fired. But they're still going to make the playoffs this year, and they're still going to win the NFC East. So I don't think you need to freak out right now if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan. I think they have a chance to turn around and finish the season the right way. Dak Prescott, as I was saying, is leading the league in passing yards, but I don't think he'll come close to winning MVP this year because they aren't winning the big games that they need to, and it's holding them down a bit. As I'm talking about the big games, it's like that they haven't won one game against a team over 500, and he needs a big game to prove himself and why Jerry Jones should re-sign him and give him the big bucks. But I don't think he's really proven that yet this season. And though he's throwing for all these passing yards, he does have some really good wide receivers in Randall Cobb, Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper. So, but I think he just needs one big game to prove himself. Maybe a couple more big games. Obviously, he needs to lead his team to the playoffs, finish the season off right, and then I think he gets the big bucks from Jerry Jones. So Houston, Texans. They're the favorites to win the AFC South. And Deshaun Watson has thrown for over 20 touchdowns so far this season. The Chiefs, they should win the AFC West. Mahomes has been playing well since coming off an injury that sidelined him for 2 weeks. But the Chiefs defense has not been great at all. And they really need to do better if the Chiefs have a chance to make the Super Bowl this year. And I think the only thing that keeps Mahomes from winning MVP this year is the injury, because he's 2 games behind everyone else to prove why he's the best in the league. And I think last year was just a special season for him. Everything was clicking last year. Everything was going right. But this year, I think the defense is holding him down a little bit. They're losing games that they shouldn't, even though he's performing and he's executing. So I think that's the only thing that holds him from winning MVP is the rest of his team and his injury. Green Bay, they haven't been that much in the news in the NFL, but they really haven't been bad either this year, winning eight games in 11. So them and the Minnesota Vikings sit on top of the NFC North as of now, and the Vikings are having a surprisingly good season, winning 8 of 11 also so far this season. And even though many were doubting Kirk Cousins earlier in the season, he's definitely turned it around and improved he can be a leader of that team and lead that team to win games. As I was saying, Green Bay has looked good this season, but they're not promising. They're not consistent, especially after losing 37-8 to San Francisco on the road on Sunday Night Football in Week 12. And that was one of their few games this year that people see them nationally televised on national TV.
and they just got whooped. They did not do well. They didn't execute. They didn't perform. And the 49ers just completely outplayed them. New Orleans sits on top of the NFC South. Drew Brees and Michael Thomas have been connecting, and they look unstoppable. Michael Thomas really hasn't had one bad game the whole season, and he's been the best wide receiver in the league so far, with over 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. And although he is having the MVP season, I think it's really hard for a wide receiver to win MVP because you always have to look at their quarterback, and then probably their quarterback wins MVP this year, but I don't, because of Drew Brees' injury that sidelined him for a couple games, obviously he's not going to win MVP this year. The NFC West has been very interesting this season so far. San Francisco 49ers sit at 10-1 through week 12 with one loss in overtime off a field goal to Seattle. Jimmy Garoppolo is throwing for just below 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns, and he's showing why he's the leader on that team and the teams behind him, which is good chemistry there, and that's why they're winning games. That's why they're proving everyone wrong this season. But once again, same thing with the Patriots. The 49ers defense has been huge. I think them and the Patriots have the best defense in the league right now. The 49ers are creating multiple turnovers each game, and yeah, they have a very good defense, one of the best in the league. 49ers play the Ravens in week 13, and honestly, I think that could be the best game yet this season, with the 49ers powerhouse of defense and then obviously the Ravens powerhouse of an offense, and those two collide. I think it'll be a very good game, but I think 49ers will also really have to perform well in offense and get it done, as the game is in Baltimore. So Russell Wilson for the Seahawks, I think he's also having MVP season. I think him and Lamar Jackson by far lead so far as the favorite MVP candidates. He's thrown for 24 touchdowns and over 3,000 passing yards. And, I mean, the Seahawks have only lost twice this year. They're playing really well. And Russell Wilson has only thrown for 3 interceptions this season. So he's definitely executing. He's performing. And Tyler Lockett are clicking. The running back's doing well. Their defense is starting to perform a little bit better. So if he can keep that, he can keep that up, keep his numbers high, I think the Seahawks have a very good chance to make a run this season. The Rams, they've been extremely disappointing this season. Extremely. But they're not even doing like that bad if you see on paper. They're 6-5. But Jared Goff, just watching the games, Jared Goff has not been good at all this season. Not one game I've watched have I really been impressed by how he's throwing the ball. And I think he's just not making the throws he needs to win big games. He's missing throws that a lot of quarterbacks would make, and he has the receivers he needs to do it. Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods. He has the receivers he needs, but he's just not executing. He's not making them. He's only thrown for 11 touchdowns a season, and he's thrown for 10 interceptions. So not a very good ratio there at all, and also one of the worst in the league. And I guess Sean McVay doesn't look like all that anymore. His team's not getting done. They're not winning the big games that they need to. They're getting embarrassed by teams they shouldn't. They even lost 45-6 in week 12 against the Ravens at home. And I know Lamar Jackson's having a great season, but that's just unacceptable that you only score 6 points at home. And also on the other side, you let up 45. You have Jalen Ramsey, one of the best defenders in the league. You have Aaron Donald, one of the best defenders in the league. Clay Matthews. You need to be getting it done on both sides of the ball. And they just don't look good this season. I don't know what's happened. Maybe they're still having a little bit of a football hangover from Super Bowl last year. But they need to step it up if they even want to come close to making a playoff run. And their running back, their star running back, Todd Gurley, he's not having the season he wanted either. So he only ran for 22 yards in the 45-6 loss to the Ravens on Monday Night Football. And that's just, they need more out of him. If Jared Goff's not throwing the ball well, they need more out of him. They need him to reform. And I know he's still dealing with injuries and everything from last season, but there has to be a point where you just have to step up and lead your team. So we're going to play a little most this, most that game through 12 weeks of the NFL. So most surprising, Minnesota and Seattle, San Francisco, I think those are both pretty self-explanatory. Minnesota started off the season very poor, and they've just completely turned it around, and everything's clicking for them. Dalvin Cook's having a very good season, one of the top running backs in the league right now, probably behind Christian McCaffrey in terms of stats and leading their team. And then obviously San Francisco, not a lot of people favor them to do as well as they should. Only one loss through 11 games, which is extraordinary. Jimmy G did getting it done. The running back's also doing very well. He's connecting with this tight end, George Kittle. So I think those are the most surprising teams so far. The most disappointing, as I was saying earlier, the Rams, they've not been great at all this season. The Cleveland Browns, who have won five games in 11, so losing record through 12 weeks. And a lot of people were like, oh, the Browns have a chance to make the Super Bowl this year. They're going to be a really good team this year. And I thought so as well. How could you not? You have Myles Garrett, who's number one pick. You have Jarvis Landry. You acquired Odell Beckham Jr. from the Giants. You have Nick Chubb. You have Kareem Hunt back from suspension. You have Baker Mayfield, who's coming off a great rookie season. And somehow, it's all folding. They're not clicking. They're not connecting. They're not having the season that anyone thought they were going to. And then the Eagles have also been very disappointing. They just won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. And not much has changed since then, besides them losing Nick Foles to Jaguars. But Carson Wentz needs to start producing. He needs to start performing if the Eagles want a chance to maybe win the NFC East and surpass the Cowboys. The most hot teams right now, the Baltimore Ravens, they can't lose. Lamar Jackson's on fire. Mark Ingram's running back is on fire. He's connecting with his receivers. The defense is on fire. So I think they're the most hot team right now, along with the 49ers. So those two teams playing Week 13 colliding, I think they'll be an absolutely great game. Most consistent team so far, New England. Week in, week out, they're proving why they're still one of the better teams in the NFL, even if they're battling injuries, even if their game plan isn't going as they wanted to, they still always find a way through it, and they still win games. And it's really, they really impress. They always get it done. They always impress everybody every year, and they always get it done. And then I would say the most questionable team so far is the Cowboys. You don't really know what to expect from them. Sometimes they have horrible losses, and sometimes they have great wins. And it just bounces either way from them each week. And sometimes they're competitive, and sometimes they're not. So I really think we need to see some more out of Dak, some more out of Ezekiel Elliott, and we really need to see them lead that team back where they should be, winning the NFC East, being a high seed in the playoffs, but they just haven't been great yet this season. Very, very inconsistent, and as I said, questionable. Like, what can they do? What are they capable of? And I think we all know what they're capable of, but they're just not executing. They're not performing. So we're going to finish the show off today with a little bit of basketball talk, starting off with my Los Angeles Lakers. Wow, is it a great time to be a Lakers fan. LeBron and AD, both averaging about 26 points per game right now. They're sitting at the top of the league. LeBron looks great after having an offseason, kind of just settled down, regroup. And he's been leading the team. Lakers have a lot of close games this year. They haven't had a lot of blowouts. And it's really come down to the wire in most of their wins this season, which is fine if they're winning at the end. But the question is LeBron going to get tired earlier in the season this year? But I don't think he will. He looks in great shape right now, looks in great health. So if the Lakers can stay healthy this year, I think they have a really good chance to win a lot of games and hopefully the NBA Finals. Kyle Kuzma started off the season with injuries, so he missed a couple games, but he's been back and he's been hitting clutch threes, and the bench is doing their work as well. Dwight Howard they signed Dwight Howard. A lot of people questioned it. Why are they doing this? We don't understand. He's been horrible lately, but he's getting big rebounds. He's performing, and there's nothing wrong with that. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope getting a lot of hate as well at the beginning of the season, but he's definitely had a turnaround. He's knocking down big shots. And point guard Alex Caruso, he's been huge as well. He's been playing great defense. And that's really been the story of the Lakers so far. They are one of the best defensive teams in the league right now. And after having a horrible defensive season last year, they brought in guys like Avery Bradley And this obviously you still have Rajon Rondo. You have Alex Caruso. You have AD, who's trying to win Defensive Player of the Year. You have a great bunch better defensive team. LeBron's actually playing defense this year, which is surprising for a lot of people. And they're showing it on the court, on paper, that they're one of the best defensive teams in the league and that they've really been working on it. The Clippers, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are both back. Kawhi is missing a couple games here and there because of load management with his knee and everything, which is, I guess, I don't really want to get into it. I don't really necessarily understand like the whole reasoning behind that. I get why, because they don't want him to like re-injure it and miss like a bunch of games, even possibly a couple months. So I can see like why they're doing it, but I don't understand like the reasoning when he's just sitting out like in big games when you need him there for ticket sales, for anything like that. So it'd be nice as an NBA fan to see him start playing consistently every game like LeBron is. But the Clippers, they just have so much depth. Like, I don't like them, but their bench is so deep. Lou Williams, sixth man of the year. Montrezl Harrell also coming off the bench. They're both putting up big numbers. Each of them having a lot of over 20 point games. And they've been very impressive. And I think the Clippers are a very hard team to beat this year. So I think them and the Lakers, LA is just on fire right now, in terms of basketball wise. And every time those two teams play this year, I think it's always going to be sold out. Everyone's going to be watching because there's so many star players in both of those teams. Over in the East, with the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo is putting up big numbers again this season, coming off of his MVP season. He's averaging about 30 points so far and about 14 rebounds, and he's really been leading that team. And they sit at the top of the East so far. The Celtics, they picked up Kemba Walker during the offseason after losing Kyrie Irving to the Nets. And Kemba's really been a leader so far for Boston. And they've had a great start of their season as well. And Kemba's averaging about 22 points. And Jason Tatum has also been a leader on that team, averaging about 20 points. Golden State Warriors, one of the worst teams in the league right now. I said earlier in the year that I still think they'll be a playoff contender. But that was before Stephen Curry got hurt. And he'll be out for a couple months. And obviously, Klay Thompson is still out, probably for the rest of the season. Jamon Green's been having some injuries, and DeAndre Russell's been having some injuries. And there's been a lot of games this season where all of those players are out, and they have not a lot of experience on the court, no All Stars at all, and they've just been horrible this season. They have not been good. They've been one of the worst teams in the league. But they're just so young, and they're not, oftentimes they're not putting any All-Stars on the court because of D'Angelo Russell having a couple of injuries, and as I was saying, Draymond Green. There's just no leadership. You're not going to win games when you have a very young team against experienced teams with veterans, and also a team with no leadership. Finishing up with Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks, they have been very surprising team this season. Luka's having MVP season, averaging about 30 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and he's been putting up a bunch of triple doubles. And he's honestly an MVP contender this year, which not a lot of people expected because it's only his second year in the league. So I guess he's really proving like what can come out of your European basketball, overseas basketball. LaMelo, a lot of people saying LaMelo Ball. Who's currently playing in Australia, could be a top three pick next year, and he's been looking great over there. But I guess it's really just shaping what could happen. What if players were to keep getting hurt or getting, NCAA continuing not allowing players to make money? I think some players will start going over to Europe, start making money, getting better, and then going to the NBA because it just makes more sense. That's another thing to talk about another time. That's a lot to go into, but I just think that's what we're going to start seeing if the NCAA doesn't make a change. So that's all I got to talk about today. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I'll see you soon.